service off just a little different. This, I'm going to ask a couple questions, and you don't have to answer them out loud or anything. We're not to judge, right? But let's put ourselves in that position as judging, okay? So I'm going to give you permission today, all right, to judge. To judge sin, okay? And I want you to see, I'm going to talk about, name two different types of individual here, okay? And I want you to tell me with a show of hands here in a second who you think the worst is, okay? Who's the worst sinner, all right? This sounds fun, right? Anybody want to volunteer, first of all? You want to? I didn't think so. Okay. The first person is a murderer, commits adultery, deceptions, and lies. The second person simply just chooses to ignore what God asked him to do, acts foolishly, okay? Or maybe that person looks at the source of somebody else instead of God, you know, ask, you know, what do you think, you know, asking, what should I do? And maybe that person just doesn't really inquire much of God at all. So with these two individuals, who would say the murderer, adulterer, and the deception is the worst sinner? Anybody? Everybody knows this trick question, right? So nobody believes that. But if you was just thinking honestly, just honestly, just being brutally honest, most everybody would say that person is the worst sinner. The person that just acted foolishly and kind of ignored what God was asking to do. We all do that, right? We all do that. Many times we ask somebody else's opinion instead of God's opinion, and many times we just go out on our own and we don't even inquire of God. I describe two different individuals in the scriptures. Today, we're going to be talking about having a heart after God. Today, I just described Saul and David. And most everybody, if we was honestly, genuinely honest, we would say, David is the most guilty. David is the worst sinner. David is the one that's going to hell. Wouldn't we? We all, I mean, honestly, we would say, that person, how dare he? And the other person, we look and say, I can relate with that person. Act foolishly. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, describes and tells us the issue with King Saul here. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, so Saul died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep. Saul died because he did not keep the word of God. And it goes on, it says, and also because he asked counsel of a Median, a spiritualist, a soothsayer, a palm reader, somebody like that. In our society today, we look at those types of people and say, well, I didn't know that was a bad thing. It says, They saw it because he asked the counsel of a Median, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. So it says, therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. So here we look at an individual that simply acted foolishly, chose not to obey what God was telling him to do, went off and did his own thing, sought the instruction of the spirit world, but not the Spirit of God. And God says, mm-mm, I can't have that. Do we not understand the seriousness of what God is really talking about? Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, I want you to turn there real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it says, Now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you. So God is speaking here to King Saul, saying, you know what? Because you did not keep what I have commanded you to do, he says, I have sought after a man after my own heart. And we here all today want to be in that category, a man or a woman after God's own heart, right? Absolutely. So we need to learn what it takes to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. First of all, we got to understand we don't have to be perfect. We just need to have a heart that is pursuing God. We look at that scripture there, it says that God says, the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, meaning after his own thoughts, his own ways, has his very own mind. That word after, if you look that word after up in the Hebrew, you find it actually means according to. And so God is saying, I'm searching after a man according to my own heart. Somebody that is going to be like me, have a heart after me that has the same wants and desires. Now, this is really going to get good here in a few moments, and I believe you're going to learn a few things. Why don't you just say that? I'm going to learn a few things today. If you open up your heart, you really are going to learn a few things here today. If you jump over to the book of Acts, chapter 13. In verse 22. And it says, and after he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, or according to my heart, who will do all of my will. The Message Bible says it like this, the very last part. He says, he's a man whose heart beats to my heart, a man who will do what I will tell him. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you just simply need to be just like this verse here. Be a man or a woman whose heart beats just like God's heart. And a man or a woman who will do just simply what God will tell you to do. God knows that you're not perfect. God knows that there's flaws in your life. God knows that you have made mistakes. And God is simply saying, I am not going to base whether I send you to hell over your mistakes. I'm going to base it over what is your relationship with me. Will you have a heart after me? Will you accept me into your heart? Now, we look at individuals on the outward appearance many times. Because when God rejected King Saul and was going to establish David as the new king, he sent Samuel to the house of Jesse. And the first thing that took place, Samuel looks at the oldest son and says, this must be Look at his stature. Look at his, you know, everything about him. And God simply says, do not look at his outward appearance. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the what? At the heart. God is looking at your heart today. And God is looking at a heart to see whether it's repentant, whether it's a heart that's willing to follow him, a heart that's willing to seek him no matter what, even when you make mistakes. See, the real key difference between Saul and David was when Saul messed up, he started blaming others, making excuses, trying to hide. When David made mistakes, he simply said, you know what? I repent. Forgive me. And he sought after what God really wanted. See, we basically look at ourselves and we judge ourselves by our mistakes. When God is simply saying, I want you to just acknowledge that you have made a mistake and simply say, I repent. And I release that. God is looking for men and women today that have a heart after him. Not like the Pharisees of the religious day when Jesus... If we look at the Pharisees, I'm going to just really quickly, and this comes out of the book of Matthew chapter 23, and you can just flip over there real quick, and I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but out of Matthew chapter 23, and it'll actually start at verse 4, but it starts talking about all the different characteristics of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees was the religious people of the day. And I'm going to talk real quickly about five characteristics that these Pharisees had. They overburdened the people. They put stipulations on people that they couldn't live up to. Because they was not looking at the people's hearts. They wasn't looking at God's heart. They was looking at what could they get for themselves. Are we a people today that are simply looking at what can we get for ourselves? Or are we looking at what can we do for God? The Pharisees, they also were motivated by attention. They wanted attention. They wanted to be noticed. And what happens many times in the Christian circle today is that we're wanting to be noticed by people. And if people aren't noticing us, then we get upset because people aren't noticing us. We are a people that are easily offended. Easily offended and simply saying, you know what, I want people to notice me. See, many times we doll up this face and this body. But guess what happens? The scripture says that the Pharisees, they clean the outward appearance outside of the cup, but the inside of a cup is filthy. I guarantee you, every single one of you, if you go to a restaurant today and they bring you a glass, and the outside of that glass looks really nice. But then all of a sudden you look down inside of it and it's filthy. How many of you are going to say, go ahead and fill it up? Or how many of you are going to say, I'm going to send it back? See, the Pharisees was good at cleaning the outward so that everybody that looked upon them would notice and say, man, they look good. But they wasn't dealing with the inward part. They wasn't dealing with what God was really looking at. God is not looking at what you wear or how, if your hair is exactly in place. He's looking, is your heart right? Is your heart right? Is your heart truly seeking after him? Is your heart truly desiring to know him? The Pharisees also, they made it hard to enter God's kingdom. Meaning that they simply only hung out with people that was just like them. They was not going to associate with the sinners and the people that didn't dress like them or talk exactly like them. Why did they have such an issue with Jesus? Jesus went and he fellowshipped. He sat down and ate with the sinners, the drunkards, and everyone. And they sat there and they was like, he must be of the devil. Why would they judge people like that? Why did they judge Jesus like that? Because their heart was not right. (Clears throat) The Pharisees, they neglected mercy and justice and faithfulness. They would put things on other people and say, you need to do it, but they wouldn't do it themselves. They would hold themselves to a different accountability. And then the last one there, they focused on external righteousness, where everything had to look right on the outside, but inside it wasn't. So as we look at these individuals today, Saul, David, and the Pharisees, all of us would in here would say, we want to be a man or a woman after God's heart. We want to be somebody that would be like David, right? Shake your head, something. Now, as I was seeking the Lord about this, the Lord took me to a passage of Scripture that I was kind of surprised that he took me there. And he opened up a whole new new revelation that I'd not really seen before. And I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I knew this verse. And just being simply honest, I was laying in bed last night, probably about midnight. And I'd been just praying this week and seeking the Lord about having a heart after him, according to him. But last night, about midnight, the Lord, he spoke this verse into me. And so then I had to turn my light and everything on. And so then I just got up and I just started studying. In verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. And stop right there. So, the Lord started ministering to me, and he took me all the way back to the beginning where God had the Ark of the Covenant. And he had Moses build the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant had three different things in it. It had the Ten Commandments, it had Aaron's rod, and it had a jar of manna in it. Okay? And that the commandments, the rod, and the manna represented three different things. Okay? It represented the Word of God, represented the presence of God. The Aaron's rod that had blossomed represented the power of God. And the jar of manna represented the provision of God. And so, when God first started off, he says, I want to instill and put inside the ark the very presence, the very power, and the very provision. And so, they carried this Ark of the Covenant around, and then finally God spoke to Moses and says, I want you to build a tabernacle. And with this tabernacle, I want you to make it in three parts. You're going to have the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Okay? So now we got three parts of the tabernacle. And the Holy of Holies had the Ark of the Covenant, which had what? The presence, the power, and the provision. Okay? So the people would then come in to the outer courts and offer their sacrifices. The priests then would take that blood and bring it in to the inner courts. But then only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Everybody following me? All right? So, here we got the tabernacle now. And then, after the tabernacle, they eventually built the temple. And basically the same. It was set up the same way. But then Jesus come along. And he created man in a triune being. Remember, everything has three parts. The ark had the presence, power, and provision. The tabernacle had the outer, inner, and the holy place. Only in the holy place could the high priest be. But God created man, and he created him in a triune being, meaning he created him with a spirit, soul, and a body. Okay? And the body would represent the outer court. And the soul of man represented the mind, the will, and emotion, would represent the inner courts. But he also created the spirit of man, or the heart of man, that would represent the Holy of Holy. Right? Shake your head. Now I want you to go back to verse 16 here. It says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is who you are. So who are you? You are the temple of God. And the temple of God is the place. So we're the temple of God. We have a body, which would represent the outer. We have the mind, the will, and emotion, would represent the inner. And then we have the spirit of man, or the heart of man, that represents the Holy of Holies. And who could only enter into the Holy of Holies? The high priest. Who is the high priest? Jesus. Who's the high priest? Who is the high priest? Jesus is the high priest. The only thing that should enter into the heart of man is what? Jesus. Not the things of the world. Not the things of any other worldly advice, decisions. God simply says, if you want to be a man or a woman after the heart of God, you got to realize that the heart of God is reserved for one thing only. There's only one thing that should be set up in your heart today, and that is Jesus. David was a man after God's own heart, but are you a man or a woman that will allow God into your heart? You may allow him into your mind, your will, and your emotions, and allow him to be like any other priest. But not any other priest, but only one, should be able to enter into your heart. Who do you serve today? If you're serving yourself, you have made yourself the high priest of your life. If you are serving yourself and you think more of yourself than Jesus, then you have made yourself the high priest and you have established a throne of yourself in your own heart. I hear people say this a lot of times, and I understand. Well, yes and no, I don't. But I hear young couples a lot of times say, man, my spouse is just my rock. They're just my rock. They are my everything. They're my spouse. I love them with all my heart. Who are you putting in there to be your high priest? If you're making somebody else your rock, if you are setting up a throne where you're going to exalt that person and honor that person more than you honor God, then you've just made that person your high priest and not God. to read this verse again, or this statement again. David was a man after God's own heart. But are you a man or a woman that will allow God into your heart? If you go to Psalms 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So Moses, as he was writing that psalm, was making a statement that he was to enter into the secret place. And Moses knew what it was to enter into the secret place. And he says, anyone that enter into the secret place of the Most High, not just any God, but the Most High God. And all of us today, we want to look and we want to quote that verse, and I quote it all the time too, and it is very, very important. Don't get me wrong. It is super important. But God has taken me to a new level with this now. He says, you want to hide yourself in the secret place of the Most High, but he says the Most High wants to put himself and hide himself in the secret place of your heart. He wants to dwell in your heart today. He doesn't want you to have everything else dwelling in your heart. Many times we're troubled in our heart. And he says, be not troubled, for I'm with you. David, if we go back and we look at David for just a moment, I'm just going to give you 10 attributes of David and why we can consider him a man or a man after his own heart, or man after God's own heart, according to his heart. David was a humble man. That was Psalm 62:9. In Psalms 18:3, he was very reverent. Psalms 31:9, he was respectful. Psalms 27:1, he was trusting. Psalms 18:1, he was loving. Psalms 4:7, he was devoted. Psalms 9, verse 1, he recognized God. Psalms 23:6, he was faithful. Psalms 119:34, he was obedient. In Psalms 25:11, he was repentive. So these 10 things, he was humble, reverent, respectful, trusting, loving, devoted, he had recognition, he was faithful, he was obedient, and he was repentive. David was a man that was saying, you know what? I want to follow after God. I want to have a heart like him. And he did. And God is saying today, if you want to have a heart like him, a heart after him, he says, then you're going to have to allow me in to your heart. David had to pursue the heart of God. And God has been pursuing your heart. God has been pursuing your heart. If you truly want to have a heart after God, then you have to simply just let him in. You got to let him in and allow him to be the high priest. In Revelations 3, verse 20 says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. What that verse is meaning is God is knocking at your heart's door today. And he's saying, will you allow me to come in and be the high priest? Will you allow me to come in and set up rulership? Because if you allow him to come in, then there's three things that's going to happen. If you truly allow him to come in, there's going to be three things that's going to happen. You're going to find out that the word of God and the presence of God is going to reign there. Because if Jesus is truly in your heart and you're letting him be, allow your heart to be his throne where he can sit upon your heart and live there and dwell there, you're going to find out that the word of God will not be a problem any longer. You'll find out the word of God, you'll have a hunger and a thirst after it. If you're wondering why you're struggling in reading the scriptures, it's because your heart has not become the throne of God. But when your heart truly becomes the throne of God, you'll have a desire for the word of God. you'll want to read it. You'll want to study it. The second thing is you'll find out that when that Jesus comes in and truly is Lord of your life, you're going to find out that you won't have a problem with the power of God in your life any longer. Because the power that's attached to the presence is now residing not on the outward, but where? In here. And when you speak, now you're speaking with the authority and the very voice of God. And the third thing is that you'll find out that God has already established the provision in you. When Jesus went to the cross, he says, "It is finished." Before he went to the cross, he took your scourging and your beatings, and he took your sin upon the cross, and he met every single need in your life. God has made every provision already possible, and if you allow him to truly reign and rule, you'll find out provision will no longer be an issue in your life. When the word, you start reading the word, all of a sudden the word's going to start coming alive. Now I know what it means. All things are possible to him who believes. Because the provision is already there. So in your life today, when you truly make Jesus the Lord of your life, not just in your body, not just in your soul, but when you truly allow him to establish his throneship in your heart, all of a sudden you're going to start realizing that the high priest, Jesus Christ, is the only one that's allowed in here now. And he has set up his presence, his power, and his provision. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come back now. Today, God is asking, he's knocking and saying, "Can I come into your heart today? Can I set up a throne in your heart for me to reign and rule in so that I can bring the power and the provision and the presence into your life?" We find out that the priests many times could not even stand in the very presence because it was so powerful. Once we start tapping in and allowing God to truly have first place and rulership in our life, that everything else is going to start bowing in your life. Your own wants, your own wills, your own desires. Why? Because not only do you have a heart after God, your heart is God. Your heart is the throne of God now. I'm going to ask for every head bowed, every eye closed. Today is a day of quit playing games. Today is a day that we're going to quit looking and start judging on the outward appearance. Saying this sin is worse than this sin. God is simply was looking at these two men and simply saying, "You know what? I'm looking at their heart. I'm looking." David was a man, even when he made the mistake, he recognized it and he says, "You know what, God, I am sorry." And he sought God and he did his very best to simply honor God and obey whatever God told him to do. Did he always get it right? No. He didn't get it always right. But his heart was always yearning and longing to know God. And today, you're not always going to get it right either. But God is simply saying, if you allow me to come in there, he says, your heart's always going to be yearning and longing to want to get it right. If you're here and you know that you have never made a decision to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, and you want to do that, you want to truly allow him to come in and sit upon your heart and reign and rule, slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, that's me. I want to know him." I see that hand. If you're here today and you've known the Lord, but you've walked away from him, you haven't been serving him, and you want to rededicate your life, you want to get your life right, you want Jesus to come in and reestablish that throne, slip up your hand and say, that's me. I see those hands. Won't you repeat this prayer with me? Say, dear Jesus, I give you my heart. This heart is your throne. I am yours. This is who I am from now on. I am your child. And I will serve you. And I will follow after you with everything that's in me. Forgive me when I make mistakes. But Lord, I will always look to you. And I will always serve you. I will not blame others. I will take responsibility. And Lord, I surrender to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God has just come and he has established himself in your heart today. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are son and daughter of God today. Let's stand to our feet. This altar is open today. God, power, his provision, but most of all, his presence is not only in this building. The power, the presence, and the provision is in you today. Say, it's in me today. When you open up your heart and you lift up your hands, you're just welcoming. You're just making it a funnel for the Spirit of God to come in. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come and he filled the people. And today, God wants to fill you. Will you let him? This altar is open. Just come. If you need to do business with God today, as we worship the Lord, just come.